This is Tom Lacovara Stewart, Resurrected Republic Truth Radio broadcast on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I am on the line with Ryan Bundy, who has been an inspiration to all of us in this insanity of the trials that we've seen from Oregon to Nevada. So from what I understand, a lot of people got out. Isn't that right, Ryan?
Yeah, a few more did yesterday. Mel, my brother Mel, was released on conditions. Davey, my brother Davey, was released on conditions. Jason Woods was also released and went home to Arizona on conditions. Joseph O'Shaughnessy was released on paper but didn't actually get out of jail because he still has some pending issue in Oregon. However, I think they're going to try to work that out. He should be out within either today or tomorrow.
Oh, that's great.
And so that's a little bit of improvement. It's still not freedom, and it's still a violation of, you know, the whole concept of being innocent until proven guilty. They're still being treated as though they're guilty. But hey, it's a little bit of relief. At least I can say that.
Yeah, I can relate to that. When I was picked up and brought from New Jersey to Philadelphia and then all the way out to Oregon, they denied me any sort of bail, first claiming that I was a flight risk, even though I was a national broadcaster and broadcasting my location throughout that entire time. and then as a threat to society when I got here, even though I've never, ever been convicted of a violent crime, and I've, in fact, stopped two robberies in the state of New Jersey in the time that I was there, so that didn't hold much water with me. We see constitutional violations going on constantly. But it seems to me that these trials have unearthed a lot of deception that the government has used to try and prosecute, or what I actually say persecute, people of an opposing political ideology or belief. That's what they say, but I don't believe it's a ideology or belief. I think it's based on the foundations of the U.S. Constitution. So can you speak maybe to some of these deceptions that we've been hearing about? Is that something that you can talk about?
Well, sure.
Well, if you can't, if you can't.
I have the freedom of speech, do I not?
That's right.
I don't have any gag order on me, and even if I did, you know, who has the right to gag? I have the right to freedom of speech. I'll say what I want to say.
Amen.
I'm not held back by that. When it comes to deceptions, the thing I've learned through this experience is that that's mostly how the government and these prosecutors operate, is by deception. Even if a man has, say, committed some crime, they will use deception to inflame that crime, or I'm trying to find the right words here. They exaggerate it. They exaggerate it to the extreme that they possibly can. They'll trump up the charges. They'll add more charges on an indictment than what was even feasibly committed, and then inflame them to make a person sound just terribly, terribly dangerous. You know, I'll give you an example of one of the men. I'm not going to give you his name, just to protect him, but I'll tell you a story just a little bit. He was he got in an argument with his wife, and because he did not want to lose his temper, he and hurt her or hit her or something, he left and went over to a friend's house. Well, his wife, being angry at him, called the cops. And she thought, oh, I'll get him in trouble, and he'll spend a little time in jail, you know, a day or so. Oh, that'll teach him. So she told the cops that he did hit her. Well, he hadn't hit her, which she later admitted, but it's too late at this point. Now the prosecutors are after him. They did throw him in jail, and not only did they charge him with, they charged him with substantial bodily harm that he supposedly had done to her. Well, substantial bodily harm is, I mean, that's a huge, that's not just simple, you know, battery. I mean, to do substantial bodily harm, a bone has to be broken or flesh has to be cut. You know, something serious has to have happened. It's not just a, fat lip.
Right.
Okay. And so then they prosecute him based on that without any evidence, without any, you know, it's just words, but get a conviction on it. So instead of spending a night or two in jail as she had wanted, 3 years later, he finally comes out with a felony record now for substantial bodily harm that he did not, he never even hit her. Okay, so that's just a great example of what goes on. And I hear the similar story over and over and over again. And where they exaggerate the situation to get a stronger conviction. Right. An example in our case, when my brother and I, my brother Ammon and I went to our pretrial detention hearing back in April of 2016, the prosecutor, you know, in his flamboyant and theatrical methods, stated that we were the most dangerous criminals he had ever prosecuted in his life. Okay?
Oh, gosh.
Just trying to just really took this juice, you know?
Right. And well, you know, I saw that here. I saw, you know, with that, what you were just describing, with that, the fellow that was charged with the felony and all of that, this is like this neo-Marxist style of communitarian law that they're using. I met people the same thing. A guy got attacked by his wife, hit in the head with a cue ball. She grabbed the cue ball and hit him in the head. Then she called the police because of the argument. He got thrown into the jail, and he was saying, "You don't understand. She attacked me. I just tried getting away from her," and they didn't listen to him. They ended up 3 days later sending him for an X-ray and found out that he had a concussion, and she in fact did hit him with the cue ball, and then she recanted her story about him attacking her, but they didn't let up on him either. Same thing. And then of course, calling you guys terrorists, I mean, you've never been in any trouble of any violence. You've never been violent towards anyone in your life. Matter of fact, I don't even think I really... I saw you talking to crowds and talking with reporters and reaching out to as many of these people as you could, the sheriffs. And well, you had sheriffs that came from all over the country that came to support you. Now, they may be considered conservative, whatever they want to, you know, smear, they use the politics of it. But these are constitutional lawmen who swore an oath to preserve and protect something that most of these bureaucrats, if you try and ask them about the Constitution, they have no real understanding of it.
No, and that's the problem. Anyway.
Yeah, the next question is, how do you see the trial as it's gone so far? Of course, I haven't been there in Nevada, so I mean, I've been hearing reports from folks. How do you think it's going?
Well, so far the government's put on 4 witnesses, and I believe that all 4 of those have been turned out favorably for us. I don't believe the government has helped the government's cause at all. And so, you know, I'm not a juryman. I don't know what the jury's thinking, but it certainly appears to me that the government's just digging themselves a deeper hole, and they're going to be terribly embarrassed when this is all over. And anyway, they ought to quit while they're ahead. My thoughts.
Yeah, I think so too. Well, you know, I was I have to say that if I had to make the same decisions all over again, whether to come to the Bundy Ranch, whether to come to Oregon, I don't think that I would have changed my mind one bit. I think that it's important for people to take a stand when they see their neighbors being assailed and assaulted by modern-day, I hate to say it, but, you know, political tools and revenue agents, or however you want to term them.
They're modern-day robbers, You know, you can say that outright. They're robbers. When they steal people's lives, they steal people's property. And that's what robbery is. They do it by force. They do it at the point of gun. That's robbery. You can say it.
Yeah, and, that's how I see it.
And it's you know, I call it political plunder or, you know, legal plunder. They're using the law to plunder people.
Sure are. Absolutely are. Well, you know, I like I said, I think it's important that people take a stand. There's a quote that I put out the other day in response to a lot of this has been going on by Lysander Spooner. He said, "It is self-evident that no number of men, by conspiring and calling themselves a government, can acquire any rights whatsoever over other men or other men's property, which they had not before as individuals. Whenever any number of men calling themselves a government do anything to another man or to his property, which they had no right to do as individuals, they thereby declare themselves trespassers, robbers, murderers, according to the nature of their acts." I think that that's kind of relevant to this situation. We know that there was a bunch of underlying agendas as to why they were pushing all of these ranchers out, and I know we've heard it before, but there were 50-some ranchers in that area, from what I understand. And now there's just, Clive and Bundy, I guess, is the last one standing. But your dad, he made a defiant stand not to be released until all the other fellows were out. That inspired a lot of people. How is your father doing?
Well, you know, everybody keeps saying that, and that's not what he told me.
Okay.
He's not staying in until everybody else is out. That's not his stand.
Okay, what was his stand?
It is. I'm not saying that that's not also his stand there, but that's not what he personally told me.
What did he tell you?
He told me that he's not coming out until he is a free man. He's not coming out on conditions. He's not going to be a dog on a leash. He's not going to put up with their collars and conditions because that's just unjust. So,
well, I can't disagree with him there. I'm glad for clarifying that. How is your father holding up? Is he in good health? Is he doing okay?
Yeah, he's doing good.
Oh, that's a blessing. That's a blessing. Well, any other words for our listeners that you'd like to share, inspiration, or what we can do to help you or to help those on trial right now?
Well, you know, the first thing that I want everybody to do is to seek God, to repent of your sins. This form of government is only sufficient for a moral and righteous people. If you're not living morally, if you're not living righteously, this form of government is insufficient. And our founding fathers built this form of government not on their own wits, but by the inspiration of God. Now, if we are not going to acknowledge God and to live by his commandments, then this form of government's not going to work for us. So if we want freedom, if we want liberty, if we want the Constitution to work, then for heaven's sakes, correct your lives. And everybody needs correction. I don't care how well you're doing, there is something that you can repent of. And repent means change. Repent means change. Now,
yes,
that's
sir.
The first thing, okay?
Yeah.
Get yourself straight with God. Then we need to study and learn. This, you cannot expect to be free and ignorant. It just doesn't work. And that's another thing our founding fathers have told us. You can't expect to be ignorant and free. If you expect that, you expect what never was and never will be. So get yourself educated. And I'm talking educated in the principles, the proper principles. You know, the Constitution. I know we've been saying that for years, but read the Constitution. Understand it, because the Constitution, again, is what creates the federal government. It is what gives the government its power and authority. Without it, the government doesn't exist. And so if we want to understand how government is supposed to run, well, read the Constitution. And so...
I don't think I could have said it any better.
Anyway, everything that we're doing in that courtroom is just trying to get back to that. Because our government has gone astray, and we're just trying to get back home to our proper form of government. And so if you're going to help us, you've got to be on the same page. You can't be saying that you can participate in you know, government subsidies and programs and asking for handouts. You've got to get off the government dole. You've got to stand on your own, too, and be responsible for your actions. Government wants to make all rules and regulations for us to control us to the T. Well, we don't need that. Again, that's where the moral and righteousness come in, because if we're moral and righteous, we can govern ourselves. We can restrain ourselves without having to be restrained by laws that are created. And so you want freedom? Learn how to restrain yourself. Learn how to be nice when it's not required. Learn how to give and to care for the needy without having to have it taken out of your taxes to be redistributed. Learn how to, forgive. Don't be angry all the time. Learn how to turn the other cheek. When someone hurts you, you know, do good to those who harm you. Those are hard lessons, but those are hard things to do. It's even hard for me. But that's the teachings of Christ. That's what he asked us to do. And if we learn those things, then this country will be able to govern itself. But if we're all the time trying to get the upper hand and take advantage of somebody else, it's just not going to work. It's not going to work.
Amen to that. Oh, Ryan, I look back to Oregon and I remember a lot of things from there. One of the things that really stands out in my mind were the sessions we had where you and Ammon would with the whiteboard behind you, have people sit around and just want to absorb this information. And I think that as a people, we have been so dumbed down. And I mean, they took civics, which used to be the teaching of your rights that we used to learn in school many, many, many years ago, and turned it into something else, American government, which really doesn't speak to your rights, but your so-called socialistic obligations under this new bureaucracy. I think that is the biggest message that I could give and that you just said, is that people need to educate themselves and then learn how to govern themselves accordingly. This has been an eye-opening experience for me, thanks to you and your family and LaVoy, may God rest his soul. I want to say thank you for the experience, for your family taking this stand, open the eyes of so many people. Remember that Harney County sign?
I do, yeah. In fact, those were put into evidence, and they belong to me. I plan on getting them back here before long.
Good, good. I remember sitting down with you and designing those on my on an iPad, of all things.
Yeah, you did. You helped with that. I remember that.
Yes, sir. I was very happy to see that sign go up, Harney County Resource Center. I think that's a pretty good example. I think that our national resources, our state, or really state resources, should go back into the hands of the people where they can prosper, they can make beneficial use out of these things. Grant County was an excellent example. It used to be one of the most prosperous counties in Oregon, and then enter federal government regulation, and now it's the most impoverished, one of the most impoverished counties in Oregon. I'd like to see that the people get to use, not to abuse, but to use and make beneficial use out of the land to feed their families and to sustain themselves without needing government money, government help, government assistance, and all of that. I think that that's a really important message, too, that, that came out of this, don't you?
Yes, that is. And, you know, and we do need to get back to that. So, anyway, well.
Oh, yep, sir.
Thank you for the time.
So. Oh, thank you for joining us. I'm sure my listeners out there very much enjoy hearing from you. And give your my best to your family. Tell them all I'm praying for them, and I love them dearly. You're like friends and brothers, and I just want to let you know that whatever you need, whatever you want, whenever you want to come on or give us a message, we're here for you.
Okay.
All right. God bless you, Ryan.
Okay, folks, thank you.
Good. All right, thank you. Resurrect the Republic Truth Radio broadcast with Ryan Bundy.
We're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Hello and welcome to Justice. I'm Judge Jeanine Pirro. Thanks for being with us. Tonight, the IRS, Sebelius, Benghazi, and the power grid. But first, the Nevada ranch standoff where the feds have been battling local rancher Cliven Bundy in a struggle between a cattle rancher and the federal government. For more than a century, the Bundy family's cattle have grazed in the Nevada desert, earning them land use rights on public lands. But a federal judge has ordered them to pay grazing fees. This week, 200 armed federal agents surrounded Bundy's ranch and began deporting his cattle. They tased his son. They knocked down his sister, ostensibly to protect desert tortoise. The Bureau of Land Management, though, wasn't created until half a century after the Bundy family cattle started grazing there. A confrontation was ginned up this week as cattle ranchers, farmers, and self-described militia groups supporting Bundy swarmed the area. The protesters were then threatened by heavily armed federal agents. Joining me now, William Lajeunesse, who's live from Nevada. William, big developments today. Tell us what happened.
Well, you know, Judge, this is not the result many of us expected. As of last night, with a conference call with the BLM, they were going strong. They were seizing his cattle, about 400. They had knocked down corrals, knocked down fences, taken out water tanks. And then this morning at 9 a.m., as people gathered behind me, the BLM abruptly said it was stopping operations. It was pulling out. That was unexpected. They said they were doing that for the safety of their own employees as well as the public. Because, of course, you mentioned those confrontations earlier in the week. And, of course, we had a lot of armed militia out here. And they said basically they were backing off. But there's one thing they didn't do. They didn't offer to give Clive Bundy back his cattle.
Ah.
And he stood there at 9 a.m. right after that. And he said, listen, I'm going to give them 1 hour. And if they don't give me back my cattle, we're going to go down to that corral and we're going to get them. And that's exactly what they did. And there was this huge confrontation on Interstate 15. 200 to 300 protesters stopping traffic southbound. And then the highway patrol shows up, local police show up, and there is literally a confrontation. I will say an armed confrontation, because some in law enforcement had their guns out and some on the private militia, or rather the citizens militia, if you will, they had their guns out as well. We have pictures of guys in a sniper position looking through their sights.
Well,
I'm not making it up, okay?
You know, William, it seems that both sides were heavily armed. And, you know, for the feds to back off what they originally said, and I'm going to read a statement that they issued today. They say, today we announce the decision to conclude the cattle gather because of our grave concern about the safety of employees and members of the public. And they talk about safety being their number one priority and escalating tensions. But, you know, William, I have to ask you a more direct question. Do you think, William, that the feds blinked here?
What I believe is they miscalculated and misjudged the response that was going to come down. So some of the protesters went to get the cattle out. They were rebuffed. And the negotiation was taking place, and indeed the BLM released the cattle, again saying for public safety reasons, and then the cattle showed up down at the river about 30 minutes later, all real happy. So blinked, I'm not sure. They probably did it, and it was probably a very prudent decision on their behalf that they did.
Right, and you can see the cows coming home there on our screen, William. But reports are that some of the cattle actually died. Is that true?
I don't know that for a fact. I know that I got that secondhand that, you know, when you're being herded up, and I think you're going to talk to Scott momentarily,
BLM.
He is a rancher, that when you have helicopters rounding up cattle during calving season and separating the females from the children, if you will, that it can be rather stressful on them. And I was told that some died, but I'm not personally aware of that.
Yeah, interesting. So you say the females and the children. But let me try to get to what the core of this is. Is this really about tortoises, William?
Well, I tell you what I think it is for a lot of the people here. Whether these are a lot of rural people, and they have a lot of things in common, and I think they see their livelihood and their lifestyle threatened or under assault, and some blame an overbearing federal government. So whether you're in the timber industry and the federal government closing roads, you're in farming and you're worried about your pesticides and you can't use GMO. You know, in your ranching and they got to say the cattle is going to hurt the Delhi sandfly or the pygmy owl or something like that. And so they have these things in common. At least that's one of the things I heard doing interviews today.
Well, but you know, it's kind of curious because in 1991, that same Bureau of Land Management, William, called for euthanizing the tortoises. And it seems kind of hypocritical that the same Bureau would now claim to protect them when they were resolved not that long ago to kill them. But let me move on from that. Did they really have a corral for the protesters where they had to stand?
Yeah, there were the BLM, and they took this down within 24 hours because people laughed at them, and they actually put up signs saying the First Amendment is not an area, if you will. But they had like a 30 by 30 area with the kind of orange crime tape around it and said, this is your area where you're going to speak. And, of course, these people totally ignored it. And after 24 hours, even the governor said that's laughable, and they pulled it.
All right, Judge. William, thanks so much. Joining me now, Bundy family friend Scott Hagman. Scott, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, Scott. Can you tell us how
I'm a fan of your show.
I'm sorry?
I'm a fan, big fan.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. How is the Bundy family doing tonight?
They're under a lot of stress, almost like, kind of like shock in a way. They've been through a lot. The outcome today was a huge relief to them. So as you can imagine, they're trying to get some rest right now, and I'm just happen to be the one here speaking for him.
Well, Scott, you know, I understand that you have been friends with his family for the better part of 20 years. Can you tell us a little about them?
Yes. Cliven's just been a hardworking man. He's raised some good boys. They're just good men. They're good Americans. They're just normal, good men. Cliven started out in this, and we did this in 93 also. And we won that time.
What did you do in 93, Scott?
We left the cattle out here. They tried to gather the cattle before.
Right.
So he's been down this road before. What he came to was a hard spot. He believes that it's wrong what's going on. What's going on is wrong. It's just wrong. And he would not sit down. He stood up then. He stood up for over 20 years now. He's never backed down. His boys have never backed down. I'm proud of all of them. And they brought this solution to this head now that we can have this discussion and move forward here. And he set an example for all of us that if good men just stand up and remain standing, we can change a lot of things in the federal government. The federal government right now is just out of control.
Why do you think, Scott, that the federal government is even doing this?
There could be a lot of political reasons, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. When the people in these boards, they're untouchable. They work for the government. They're really hard to deal with. They believe that they own the ground, and they're able to manage us for the best result of their ground. It's not the public's ground anymore. It becomes their ground, and it just gets out of control.
Well,
the whole introduction of the turtles and everything was just ridiculous.
Well, I don't know if you heard me earlier, but in 1991, the Bureau of Land Management said we need to kill them all. And now it's an excuse to get these cattle off the land. But is Cliven Bundy seen as a hero there now?
Yes, he is. He should be a hero to everyone. He's a common man who stood up, stood for what was right, and never sat down.
And
what he's doing is right.
Down.
And he's moving forward.
Still isn't sitting down.
And, you know,
down,
he has
son.
To feel good about the fact that so many people just picked up and went out there. And, you know, it's not good that you've got the feds who are heavily armed and the militia or the friends or the ranchers heavily armed. Literally snipers aiming at each other. But
never back down when you know that you're right. Well, welcome, folks, to Resurrect the Republic. Eric the Freedom Screamer. Chris Cave, I believe, is with us. Gary's with us. I don't know how long I'm going to be able to stay with you. I wanted to bring you that interview with Ryan while I could. I'm still behind the lines, so to speak, here in Oregon. Hopefully I'll be out of here soon enough. Eric and Chris and Gary, you guys with me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, there he is. Well, you know, this has been a long year for me, as you know. You've been there through the majority of it. And like I told Ryan, you know, had I to do it all over again, I'd still go. I know my wife might take exception with that at this point. But, you know, when these issues come up, if we just ignore the plight of our neighbors and others, it's just going to keep on rolling, keep on happening. I think that Ryan was very correct in what he said, is that, you know, you need to stand on your own too. You need to learn who you are. You need to learn your relationship with the government. You need to really know your rights, your natural rights. You know, I think that we've been hoodwinked out of knowing the truth for a very long time. So, Chris, is Chris with us?
I am with you, as a matter of fact, Tom. Thank you very much.
There he is.
I'm traveling a little bit right now, but I should be through with that in just a couple of minutes if it's an annoyance.
Are you traveling in your automobile?
I am in my Lawwill versus Lawwill private home conveyance.
Amen. Amen.
In fact, I think you'll be intrigued to know, Tom, I was in a traffic trick court yesterday with the commission czar of traffic. Her name is Ann Winter Ellsworth, or Ellsworth, I think it's more accurate. She may have misspelled it intentionally to deceive people of who she really is, the daughter of another judge in the county's system. And as I had been cross-examining on the witness stand, the citation issuing abuse of discretion officer Kenneth Mead for almost an hour, didn't get out till 5 o'clock. I left the courtroom and was out in the vestibule in the court lobby. He hollered from across the lobby that he would be seeing me in a few days, implying a threat that he would be retaliating, getting even for my indicting him for domestic terrorism and tampering with federal witnesses and other crimes that he had committed against me and many others in the Patriot Movement. And he confessed on open stand that he had been aware and surveilling me with the FBI's so-called Joint Terror Task Force since 2012. And I wanted to know, did they have a warrant to conduct this surveillance? Well, naturally, there was some play back between the so-called judge aiding and abetting her co-agent police officer. Imagine that.
But well, I got that's, you know, that's crazy, man.
Well, and remember, there's a case called City of Houston, Texas versus Hill that tells us that political speech, no matter how offensive or disheartening to law enforcement officials, such as telling them they're number one with your middle finger, as it was in that case, a gay guy across the street to another gay guy that was getting beat up and roughed up and abused by the police. It says that police officers or private foreign corporate mercenaries masquerading as police officers have a duty and a job description that requires them to expect that the people will take exception when they're acting outside scope, sphere, or color of law and abusing the discretion and others under their scope and sphere of so-called authority, which they've exceeded radically and violently to abuse others. And so freedom of speech and political association affiliation and trying to restore lawful government as what they deem to be terrorist behavior, of course, as Orwell said, telling the truth will be deemed terrorism in times of universal deceit. It appears we have arrived at that particular time here in America, most regrettably.
Truth has become treason in the empire of lies. Yeah. Well, we're going to keep on fighting back against it because that's what we do. That's my major job description. But, you know, it is what it is now. We have a far overreaching government, and state governments are not they're not taking their proper role. I keep hearing this meme from these people on the opposition there saying how, oh, I thought this was all over him not paying his taxes. Wrong. I thought he owed millions of dollars in fees. And guess what? It turned out to be that he actually owed $8,000, they're claiming now. That's all they can justify, which of course, we all take exception with even that. But an $8,000 land management fee, which is really an unlawful tax, I believe, attempting to be applied and spending a multi-million dollar operation to try and justify this. So,
I've got a little bit more to add to that, Tom.
Oh, please do.
Well, remember, since the BLM was ipso post facto, long after the fact, some 50 or 60 years, invented, because it was formerly the Department of Land Management, not the Bureau. A Bureau is an agency outside the scope and sphere of the protections provided by the enumerated limitations on government in the Bill of Rights,
right?
1789. And so, therefore, there's what's termed the doctrine of the Grandfather Clause, whereby any laws ipso post facto, after the fact, created, do not operate on precedent or beyond the creation of the agencies who try to come in after the fact and regulate things that are created under their purvey and management, so-called administrative powers after the fact. Not only that, Ivan Bundy had actually put the monies to pay the fees to Clark County on deposit in escrow to be sure that they were there should he have to pay them, but he never did so.
Yep, that's a fact. And you know, I ran that short clip of Judge Jeanine just to show the abuses here. These folks, they didn't just run these cattle out into the desert where they naturally died. When I was out there, I met Ryan Bundy out at a discovered cattle grave that he was digging out. And we jumped down in the hole. For everyone out there who wants to see the footage of that, go to RTR Truth Media BLM Cattle Graves Exposed. That's RTR Truth Media BLM Cattle Graves Exposed. And you can see for yourself the after effects of this. Even the order that they did have, they far exceeded. They shot Cliven Bundy's prize bull, and they shot several other cattle, and they tried hiding them out in the middle of the desert somewhere a good ways away from the ranch. It was quite a sight to see. This is not anything that we can tolerate or we can continue to allow to happen. You know, and what is it? 85% of the Western states now are under federal control. That's not a free republic. Not even a close representation of a free republic.
You know, Tom, they held a BLM public meeting after that event, and I
went to educate
a BLM agent, informing him that the stewardship or the administration of lands is not ownership, and there is no proviso in the federal government except for Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17, enumerated limited powers of government to own lands for particular purposes that were set forth in the Constitution. And therefore, there is no authorization or the Bureau of Land Management or any other federal agency to own lands other than what have been ceded in particular as federal territories or zones of protected interest, therefore precluded from state law. And there are other special islands that exist within the corporate states, geographic bounds, that are termed private grants of land made patent, which incorporate the concept of an island within the jurisdictional extraterritorial boundaries of the state, making them effectually without the jurisdiction of the state, notwithstanding what's termed concurrent federal-state jurisdictional implications and felony criminal applications exclusively. None of those statutes, codes, policies, or procedures of the agencies or the corporate municipal entities that they create.
Well, disciple, that just gives me an idea of the word disciple, because this has become the new American religion, this socialistic, communistic, menagerie,
Tom,
that we see. It is a religion, and if you don't believe in their religion, they will punish you as a heretic. Is that not right?
In fact, the Moonisciples are the disciples of Mu, ancient Sumer, Babel, and Pharos, of the Pharisees. This is exactly what they are. The New World Order is the Old World Order. Nothing new under the sun, and the Holy Roman Catholica Christos Synagogue of Satan.
Yeah, you know, funny you should say that. I've been digging well into my Jesuit notes. There was some information that my good buddy Sal sent me that opened up the whole thing in Paraguay and how they basically created a communistic democracy. Because democracy is the same thing as communism, really. I mean, it's a softer form. All of these isms derive from the same source. And, you know, a lot of people like to pass the blame on to Karl Marx. But even Karl Marx, its inspiration came from these Jesuits.
Well, in fact, the Jesuits, or Jesuits, as you call them, they were really the warring arm of the Catholic cult church. The Opus Dei, Jesuits, They were really the synagogue of Satan, the Pharisees, who had infiltrated the Catholic Church to take over to utilize it, because the ecclesiastica, the inclusio, or the assimilation of church and state to rule over the people more effectually, is precisely what they were there for, and they were the warring arm that would carry forth the power of the Church of Satan to enforce the will over their constituents, their disciples, those who are deceived to believe that they're some sort of holy group, holier than thou, when in fact what they really are the synagogue of Satan. And the Pope's mitre hat, the fish head hat, is specifically that of the Drago or the dragon.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people don't realize, you know, they hear this and they don't understand the historical background here to a lot of this. And I'm going to be sharing when we come, you know, moving on into the near future, I'm going to be sharing some of the background and some clips from some lectures digging into the historical facts and quotes directly by the Jesuits themselves. You know, they really, as well as they hide who's behind everything, there have been many Jesuit priests who have basically laid it all out on the line and just come out and said what they were about and what they were doing. It's really kind of eye-opening to me, this information that my buddy passed along to me. I mean, I've known about it, but, you know, being involved in this situation for this past year, I've kind of been living in a box without any information. So I have to refire my brain cells here and start sharing with people, because I don't want it to be said by anybody out there that these are just a bunch of wild theories and this is ancient history. These people think 100 and 200 years in the future and more. And they planned this agenda. It's kind of funny that at the same time in Paraguay, they were establishing this communistic society. At the very same time in America, a Protestant nation was formed. Well, how do Jesuits, how do they work? They come up from within. Where did Abraham Lincoln's assassin, one of the assassins, go? To hide? To seek refuge? Well, you know that, Chris. I don't know if our audience knows that. I'm sure some of them do. To the Vatican.
Indeed. In fact, Abraham Lincoln, a.k.a. Springsteen. I learned some more stuff about that. I think his mother's name was Nancy. I can't remember the last name. It started with an H. I remember that. Hendricks, maybe, or something of that nature. Mm-hmm. And she married a Talmudic Zionist who was, I think, the Springsteen name, and that's part of where his roots come from. And he was actually a Jesuit. He was definitely an enemy of America. In fact, he wasn't even elected. He was seized power and was appointed by the party.
Hey, you know who else was Jesuit trained? Stalin. You know who else was Jesuit trained? Mao Zedong. Hey, are we falling into a common theme here?
Wasn't that Stalin guy? Wasn't that Moshe Mordechai Levi?
No, that was Karl Marx. That was
Karl Marx.
Yeah, that was Karl Marx. I forget Stalin's original name, but it doesn't matter. The names are just their labels, their brands, their corporations. They're how they operate in business and commerce. It really is irrelevant. The roots by which they were trained, I think, is far more important. And how many people out there know that Stalin and Mao Zedong and Pol Pot were all Jesuit trained? How many people know that? This isn't something the mainstream media tells you. You know, and this is really hard for me, because I'm, you know, I was born and raised Catholic, and there's I mean, my family that are Catholic, they're good people. They believe in Jesus Christ, and you know, but they also are kind of in a way they're molded to the way of the Catholic Church. You know, a lot of them are kind of falling out of it, but so it really makes me sad, because, you know, just like the majority of Catholics out there, or the majority of Jews out there, or the majority of Baptists out there, or the majority of any of these people, they're falling under a control system. And this control system is about indoctrination and mind control. And, of course, we see it playing out all over the world. This is just this unbelievable push for a world government. And now we have, for the first time, a Roman Catholic Jesuit pope, which is a first in the history of the Catholic Church. never before has a Jesuit ascended to the papacy. I think that's significant. Also is significant, if you look at his political leanings and the people that he reaches out to, and just, I mean, it's a shock to the senses when you see the he embraces this socialistic, well, it's a shock to the senses for people that are seeing it for the first time. It doesn't surprise me one bit.
It's not unreasonable to at least question, and I think question strongly, when you have a so-called pope or poop, as the case may be, putting out this anti-Christian dribble that it's okay, we have to change our values and accept diversity of sexual relationships that are outside the norm, which is an abomination to the Creator's law. And
his
quote was
humanity must become more tolerant about different types of love. That was his response to the Catholic Fishermen's
North American Association.
That was his response to the Catholic Pharisee Pedophile Priest Network.
Wow.
The North American Man Boy Love Association. Oh, yeah, we all got to sign up and be members now, right? And start abusing our children and everybody else's children. Sin is in, and we are all free to do with as we will. You're going to buy that lie, like Satan doesn't exist, the other biggest lie.
Oh, wait till you see. I've been speaking to friends of mine out in Australia and New Zealand, and they have been telling me that these Marxist, neo-Marxist education system now, they have... they're bringing, it's not sex education, it's perversion education, and whatever's happening in Great Britain, Australia, and New Zealand, you better believe is marked for here. We kind of hesitate. There's a big resistance here, so it takes them a little bit longer to get the wheels rolling here. But I urge people, please go to look to New Zealand's some of these liberal policies that they're trying to push, that they've already pushed into the school systems. And if you want to know what's coming here, you want to be absolutely horrified? Go check into this. Check into it for yourself. We're going to be sharing more in the coming days about this, because I want people to really get an idea of what's going on all over the place. Now, look, I have a cousin who's gay, and would I punch him? Would I not feed him? Would I, you know, ostracize him? I might minister to him, but you know, we have free will. But to normalize, to rationalize, and now we see it with transgender. Now we have to call them by pronouns, Z, Zer, Zim, Zo. I mean, I identify myself as an attack helicopter. Does that make me an attack helicopter? I mean, it's insane.
Well, that's Bill Clinton. That's Bill Clinton's Executive Order 13012, which says that we can all be whatever we want to be, kind of like Pocahontas, Elizabeth Warren. She claimed that she was American. the insanity, it's the second statement of the Tale of All Nations, but it's in the bizarro element.
That was Pocahontas, isn't it?
yeah, Pocahontas. Well, remember now, Bill Clinton is the one who tried to convince us that he didn't have sex with that woman, and it depends upon what the meaning of is, but I can tell you that the secret meaning of what is ISIS, because they're the ISIS female deity cult-worshipping group of the female feminazi elitist.
Oh, yeah.
Like Hitler.
Yes, sir. Eric, I am going to put the hands of the rest of this into yours. I have to dip out of here. I hate that, but I'm in a kind of still a somewhat restricted environment.
Well, we appreciate the facility letting us have you as long as they do.
Yes, sir. And anybody that wants to call in and talk to these fine folks, 1-800-313-9443. This is Tom Lacavera Stewart, Resurrect the Republic Truth Radio broadcast with Eric the Freedom Screamer, Chris, and Gary. God bless all of you. Have a great night.
Thanks, Tom. Boy, that was good to hear. It's good to hear that you're back and up and running, and I wish you could be here for the whole 2 hours. It's a miracle that you're getting an hour, I think, from the halfway house. That's awesome. Excellent interview with Mr. Bundy. Also, it should be noted that yesterday, Dave Bundy, that was the clip that I was watching, but it was kind of an eternal hold waiting for him to actually walk out of the courthouse, so I wasn't sure which one of the Bundys it was. There's a bunch of them. It was Dave was released, And so he's out. So, you know, they're all getting, I guess, almost all of them are on their way out.
Say, Eric.
Yeah, Chris.
Remind me if I'm not, if I think I remember correctly, it wasn't Dave Bundy, the younger brother, who was originally harassed and beat up by the BLM agents for having the audacity to photograph them and their atrocities committing on their land, and then they took him off and dumped him somewhere in the middle of nowhere and dared him get back?
Yeah, two years now they've held him for video recording the activities of the BLM. Now, I'm not sure which circuit Las Vegas falls into. Is it the fourth, the ninth, or the 11th?
Ninth.
Okay, the ninth circuit. So you would refer to Fordyce versus the City of Seattle. Ninth Circuit, 1995.
Spell that one for us.
F as in Frank, O-R-D, like the car, F-O-R-D, and then Y-C-E. It's one word, Fordyce. F as in Frank, O-R-D as in David, and Y-C-E. So Fordyce with a Y. F-O-R-D-Y-C-E. Fordyce v. City of Seattle. And in that is this very specific, and I hope the attorneys would have done this. I would think that, you know, it would be the first thing they would have done, but I don't mean to tell them what to do, but the first thing I would do is file a common law motion for dismissal with prejudice based on the fact that in that circuit, the federal courts have already ruled that, quote, the First Amendment protects the right of the public to video record matters of public interest on public property. I say the government was out there claiming it was public property. They were. That's why they were seizing the cattle, because it's the government's property, public land. Hello, it's fine, right there. Fordyce versus the City of Seattle. I believe it was 1995. And there's another one. I'm sorry, hold on a second. Let me back up. I might have got my cases juxtaposed. Well, this is good, though, because I was going to get the second one anyway. You're going to have to hold on, Chris, because I got to get this right. I don't want to screw people up on this one. Okay, so
I agree.
I'm doing this out of memory. We have a right to video record letter request, but it's, you know, we don't like to use the word request, but we'll get into that later. But up on our courtroomwatch.org, somewhere up there, buried in the somewhere, is a right to video record. And it should say, you know, and it's in a file that you can download, because we tried to make everything so people could just print it out and then fill in the blank and use it. If it's a little bit off or we miss something, you know, try to correct it, but keep the structure and generally the same. There are two cases. The first one was the first one Fordyce, or was the second one Fordyce? I think the first one was Smith. I think the one that you want to, I think the Fordyce, that's right. I think I was right. Fordyce versus the City of Seattle was the first one, Ninth Circuit, 1995. And then there was another one, Smith versus the City of Cumming, C-U-M-M-I-N-G, and that was 2000 in the 11th Circuit. I'm pretty sure I got those right. But people, go check it out. You can, now that you got a good start, you can check it to confirm, just to double-check my details. I believe the first one was Fordyce versus the City of Seattle, and the second one was Smith versus the City of Cumming. And there's a chance I may have got them switched. But double check. One was the Ninth Circuit. One was the 11th Circuit. There is one in the Ninth Circuit, and they both said almost the identical thing. Quote: the First Amendment protects the right of the public to video record matters of public interest on public property. And the second one said, and specifically, a right to record what public officials do on public property. Oh, they hate that one.
Oh, excelente. You know,
we'll talk to you after the break. It's Eric, the Freedom Screamer, with Gary and Chris and Tom. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.